This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. This is me last month walking into the Hyde Park Art Center.
This is our first tour, so please be kind. Actually.
And that voice you're hearing is Allison Peters Quinn. She's the curator of the exhibit I'm checking out.
Robert and I have been working on the show for a very long time, but it takes a village.
The exhibit is called The United Colors of Robert Earl Page. And it features 60 years of work from a living legend, Robert Earl Page.
I'm in pursuit of beauty. Everything I think about is love and beauty, love and beauty. And this exhibit is an extravaganza.
This man is extremely dynamic. A lot of his art is in textiles, but really he works in a bunch of different mediums.
Everywhere you see, you'll see the repurposing. That's another strong part of what I do in my practice. You know, I use everything.
One of the overall messages of the exhibit seems to be that art is everywhere. At first, when you walk in, it looks like a living room. There's a couch and a rug and some beautiful art on the walls. But then you start to notice how pristine and colorful the rug is. There's fabrics with tribal patterns cascading across the ceilings. I mean, you start to realize this room is the art. And a lot of what's in here is ornate and pristine, but there's also a play area for kids that they can actually use. And some of the art pieces definitely have this found object kind of feel.
Anyone can design with a $1 million budget, but what can you do with a lesser amount? And that's where the creativity comes from. And that's where the imagination comes from, which we don't use too much these days.
Robert has done work for small organizations, big corporations, and everything in between. In the 1960s, he was at the center of the Black Arts Movement. He also co-founded the African Commune of Bad Relevant Artists. Bad, of course, meaning good. His work and his influence span six decades.
I've been hearing since the exhibition, you know, why didn't I know about him? And then I wonder what rock they were under.
I had the honor of sitting down with Robert to talk about this exhibit, his dapper style, and his philosophy of art as a public service.
Oh, I wrote in my yearbook when I graduated from high school I was going to be a great artist, and I had not zipped or vaulted, you know, so I guess it was, you know, my path.
Robert was born in 1936, and he grew up in Chicago. What's your cross streets that you grew
up in? Woodlawn and 51st Street.
Okay, South Side. Mm-hmm. What was your childhood like? Were you immediately creative as a youngin, or did that?
I had a wonderful childhood. Yeah, I was a person who collected a lot of things, you know, found objects. You know, my mom would say, Bobby, stop bringing things and put them in that top drawer. And what I found out, I was I'm a doodler, dabbler, and a tinkerer.
Ah.
I've been playing with art all my life.
Okay. Yeah. Robert says he grew up all over Washington Park, playing basketball, fishing, exploring.
I've always been an explorer, so creativity is something that just came natural to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Curiosity and creativity, really, they're best friends.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Curiosity is a part of my five C's.
Oh, tell me, what's the other three?
Well, you know, it's commitment, consistency. Confidence, curiosity equals creativity.
Love it. Robert got his start in design, working at an architecture firm called Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill. Later on, he would study textile design at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
What was the time when you were, like, starting to care about art, when you were like, I want to pursue this seriously?
There was an exchange architectural student from Milano that was working at Skidmore, came to Skidmore. And I had been batiking, hand painting scarves after leaving Skidmore. I'd go home and start hand painting these scarves, you know, and, you know, being out at lounges and having dinner, always would doodle. So I showed some of these doodles to this Italian architect, Ripa Dimignano was her name, and she said, "The Italians would love your design." Pum, I was out of here.
You know? Off to Italy.
Yeah, pum, absolutely. You know, no Italian, no nothing. But, you know, make some designs, send them to Fiorio. There are two examples of those in the show. He would pick the ones that he'd like. He'd send them back to me. I would enlarge them to his specification. And he would wire transfer money to my bank. 1964. I was getting dough.
Getting them wire transfers.
Absolutely. From Milano. Yeah.
Beautiful. I've heard you say the words, beauty is a public service. And I would love to hear you just talk about beauty. When you look or when you're searching for beauty, where do you find it?
You find it everywhere. You know, if you think about it, you know, color is the skin of the world. You know, and so I'm looking for it. I'm trying to turn ugliness into beauty. And so, you know, they say beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. But if you're not trained to see, then that doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. But beauty is everywhere.
Yeah. I want to talk about presentation. I remember a moment during the tour. There was a piece of cardboard, and you were saying that you wanted to make sure there was a frame around even that piece of cardboard. And it did, you know, I mean, it looked less like a piece of cardboard and more like a piece, right? And you dress fly. Everything in this installation and what I've seen of your work is presented with such keen intention. And I love to think about presentation, but not all visual artists do, which is interesting. And I wonder why aesthetic and presentation is important to you.
I think it's important to be in presentation form. Mm. So everything that I do has to have that. And the other part of that is dress for respect. Mm. And my approach to that is, God forbid if anything would happen to me today, is this the way I would like to go out? And the answer would be yes. Mm.
You know, you talked about people being under a rock. And wondering, you know, how come they never heard of you? You know, certain people, you have described yourself as a ghost artist in the past, especially when you're working in this textile space. Tell me, first of all, what do you mean by that term, ghost artist?
Ghost artist comes out of something that I think Oscar Wilde said, and my interpretation of it is, when you go home, prepare for bed, you get into bed, and you pull this sheet up over you to cover you, and there's a pattern on it. And very few people understand or realize that there's someone somewhere making it possible for that motif to be on that item.
Yes.
And so that's what I refer to.
Yeah, we take for granted how much art we have in our life.
Yeah, well, we take, you know, if people are falling into ponds and shopping malls and running into posts, you know, messing with these iPhones, and you understand how ridiculous things are in terms of seeing and of being aware of things.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about working in that kind of more mass-produced textile space, making art when people don't appreciate that an artist has been involved.
Well, you know, the textiles and fabric is part of your life from the time you get into this life and get out. You know, like I said, you know, and everybody's an artist. You know, you woke up this morning, and you say, how do I want to present myself today? And that starts it. You know, mom goes to the grocery store and picks up that first red apple, and the hunt is on. You know, you're not cognizant of the fact that you're practicing a certain aesthetic, but it is, you know.
Yeah. You also are an artist who seems to be getting every use out of your talent. So you're working not only on work for sale to individuals or for display at museums, but you're working on design partnerships with department stores, Sears, Walmart, to name a few. You're working in textiles. You're working in ceramics. Tell me about why artists should think so comprehensively about their work.
It's kind of, you get pigeonholed. You know, I have friends of mine that are great artists. You know, they're painters and they have these wonderful paintings and they paint them and they paint them and they keep putting them on their walls and they keep storing them. And I think, why not think about applying that same talent to something that can make you some money while you're waiting to sell that $1 million painting?
Yeah.
So I find that for me, it's best to explore all the substrates, whether it's fabric, whether it's paper. I do note cards, you know. I've done T-shirts, you know. I paint on rocks, you know. Get it out.
Yeah.
The marketplace is very fickle. The stuff that you love, they hate. The stuff they hate, you love. It's a mad thing. So my idea and what I tell most artists, just do the damn thing. You know, get it out there.
Yeah.
We are so busy trying to be perfect. Salvador Dali says you can give that up. So get over it, you know.
It's hard. It's hard. As artists, you know, we can be very sensitive. We can be, you know, perfectionists. But yes, it seems like it could be really liberating to just let it go.
I think the sensitivity, I mean, that artists are suffering from has more to do with outside pressure than from them.
Okay. That resonates.
Yeah, I think that's where that comes from. You know, that's why I tell young artists, I met a young one at Expo. I'm trying to impress upon him, you know, just do it.
Yeah.
You have a passion for it, do it.
During a tour, you said you call younger folks big shorties. Mm. I love that term. Mm-hmm. You called yourself a person of long standing. Tell me about how you think about educating young people and passing the baton of all of your wisdom to them.
Well, I guess my idea of big shorties is if you don't get them here, it's very difficult to get them there in terms of age. So the earlier that you can expose them to two things, you know, because they haven't, you know, you can't go into a house, apartment, anywhere in the world and go to the kitchen and not see artwork on a refrigerator of their kids, you know. So it's an innate thing for you to be creative. But, you know, at some point someone says, you can't make any money on that, or why are you fooling around with that, or any of those ridiculous things that grown-ups seem to say. And that's why the room in the large gallery was also very important to me, because I was tired of parents dragging their kids to exhibitions and running into their friends and going over and chatting and leaving the kids in a wasteland. Now kids are able to go in there and doodle and mess around. And I was passing by, I think it was opening, and a parent came to the kid, and the kid said, I'm not having that. You know, wave them off. You know, I enjoy that.
Yeah.
So it's important to get them early.
Yeah. You also, as I learned during the tour, have the gift of gab. And I'm wondering if you've ever done creative writing or got into orating or thought about that as a medium as well.
I have reams and reams of 3x5 cards, notebooks full of stuff. You know, I'm a great believer of affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a great believer of catchy phrases, you know. Creativity takes courage. You know, yeah, creativity is contagious. The gift of gab is, it's important to have a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out also, if you can make the suits comfortable, that you are on time and you do what you can say and they can sleep, then you have a passport.
Mm.
Yeah.
Important life lesson.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
You have some pretty legendary contemporaries, visual artist Margaret Taylor Burroughs, Faith Ringgold. You mentioned spending time with James Baldwin. You were friends with some of these folks. And Richard Hunt, sorry, mm-hmm. is another one, and condolences. I know that you had a relationship with him as well. How do you think about the legacy that they've left and your own legacy as a living legend in this realm?
Well, that's one of Margaret's poems. What will your legacy be?
Mm.
You know, Margaret Burroughs, I knew very well, and my Margaret Burroughs story was, I was on the west coast of Africa in a Hotel Ivoire. I was going up to my room and someone said, hold the elevator. It was Margaret Burroughs.
Wow.
I had never met her before. Yeah, I knew her and Faith Ringo. We hung out a little bit in New York.
Okay.
But Richard Hunt, he used to have on Sunday these salons, you know, with Baroque music and champagne and all kinds of, I mean.
This was in his studio?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah, my God, were, I yeah, can we only
were,
imagine.
There were a group of us artists, men that hung out, but we were clowning. Yeah, we were having a wonderful time, you mm-hmm. know. So I said, you know, you can have fun. You know, that's what I wanted this show to be.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be fun and play. Oh, yeah, I sent something to one of my colleagues, and it said, don't grow up, I think it's a trap. And then that has a lot to do with how I feel about things. I feel if you lose a kid in you, I think you lost a lot. You know, people talk about happiness. I prefer to think about joy. You can be happy one minute and sad the next, but if you had joy, then you can sustain that over a longer period of time.
Yeah. Robert Earl Page is a legendary artist. His medium has been in textiles, but as you have heard, his work runs the gamut. Robert, thank you.
Thank you. And do the damn thing.
The United Colors of Robert Earl Page is on display through October at the Hyde Park Art Center. You can find more information at hydeparkart.org. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve edits the show. Brennan Banaszak is our executive producer. Justin and I engineered this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. Have you shared this podcast with your homie yet? If not, go ahead, hit the share button, send it to somebody who would really love it. And you can also leave a review for the show. If you write us a review on Apple Podcasts, we will give you a personal shout out on the show. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Erin Allen. Do the damn thing. Anything else you want to say? Or
yeah, I like them boots you got on, kiddo. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.